exciting.
Welcome back to another episode of PDGA Radio. I'm Jennifer Allen, along with Grant Zellner, and we are trying to recover from the Las Vegas Challenge. What a week in Vegas.
Yeah, the first podcast episode where we are coming off the high of an event, and you obviously from having played in the event, me from having attended and worked at the event. And so, you know, I think I arrived home last night at about midnight. You drove home immediately following the tournament, which is for you, what, from Las Vegas to Phoenix? That's what, 4.5 hours, 5 hours?
It's about 5 hours. Yeah. Not too bad, but long enough after a full busy week.
Plus, you've got a couple of European players with you, so you've got a loaded down vehicle and all the logistics of that. So needless to say, it feels like we're coming off quite the high, quite the experience. And that's just the first time that this is going to happen. This is going to happen 1 to 2 dozen times during the course of this year. So really an exciting episode for you today. Jennifer, how did your experience at the Las Vegas Challenge go?
You can definitely tell it was more than, I mean, this was my fourth event of the year, and those, I'm glad I played prior, because, you know, kicking off a disc golf pro tour, it's a totally different event, especially at the Las Vegas Challenge there in Vegas. It's such a huge venue and so many people, and the excitement is just a whole nother level. And they always do an incredible job of making us feel special. And the level of the tournaments are just continuing to grow to just a top-notch golf tournament.
How long has it been since you played in a DGPT event?
I played in one last year, one or two.
One or two. So it's been, but it's still, it's been.
Mm-hmm. With COVID. Yeah, it's been a little bit since I've played in a lot. I played in a lot of majors last year.
Right.
So I chose majors over disc golf pro tours last year.
Right. So you're back on the disc golf pro tour. This was your first foray into that environment. And you woke up after a week of crazy conditions in Las Vegas, just absolutely bonkers wind conditions for a few of the practice days, followed by really, really chilly morning starts for the FPO field, especially the first, I'd say the first 3 days of the 4 day tournament, just really, really chilly conditions, a little bit breezy here and there during the tournament, especially on day three. How do you feel like you adjusted to those kinds of conditions?
Man, the wind wasn't that bad. The wind was ridiculous to practice in, because we knew that we were not going to have to play in that kind of strong wind. The winds during the practice days were well over 20, 30 miles per hour and in opposite direction. And so you kind of felt like it was wasted practice out there trying to accomplish anything. So we did a little bit more resting and other work compared to actually practicing on the course as much as we would have. But the temperatures were just something else. The women FPO started every morning at 7 a.m. and we were at or below freezing. And the winds, when you add on to those temperatures, were just, you know, they got you to the bone. And so you add in a little nerves and some super cold temperatures, and it was hard to stop shaking.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely Sunday, the temperatures were nicer. It felt like it was at least 10 degrees warmer, a little bit less winds. And so we were able, I think, to capitalize on some better golf on Sunday because of just the temperatures that we played in.
I thought it was interesting. And you'll notice this as you go back and watch either the DGN broadcast or post-produced. I thought it was interesting. Number one, visually, it looks pretty beautiful and it looks like it's 75 or 80 degrees, at least. You really can't appreciate how chilly and at times how breezy it was. Another thing that you might not be able to appreciate watching the coverage is the wide variety of ways that players dealt with those conditions. I saw at one point, I saw James Conrad on the course. He's in a short sleeve shirt and shorts as though it's 80 degrees. He was like that every single day that I saw him.
I don't know how men do it. That's just, must be testosterone keeps you warmer.
I don't get it. I don't know.
I don't get it.
But I
we
saw,
were frozen.
I saw some FPO players that were in fairly similar state that either were like that when the round started or very quickly stripped off a couple of layers and it looked like it was a warm day. On the flip side, you did obviously see Katrina Allen a lot in the coverage, and she had a legit wintertime heavy coat that she would put on and take off in between almost every single shot that she took. So players had these completely different. I know, Jennifer, you had hot hands. Were they electric? Right. Was it an electric battery?
I had both. I had the regular hot hands as well as an electric one. And, you know, because the electric one doesn't really last the full round, it would die before the round was over. So, yeah, and it's difficult to play in a lot of layers. And out there in Vegas, there's so much OB. And you really have to control your shots, even though it's on a golf course and people think golf courses are wide open and you can go anywhere. With the spectator lines, you know, we really had to control a lot of shots and the greens and the bunkers. And so I think, you know, you have to decide how warm can I be with not as much, you know, restrictive clothing on. And so
sure.
I think I had like 2-3 thin layers, you know, undershirts and stuff like that on, and I would take my jacket on and off. And that's annoying, but you know, you don't want those, you know, heavy layers to restrict your throw. So I always like Kat's big snow jacket. I know it's warm and it's, you know, something quick she can pull on and off and try to warm up like a pitcher would. You know, we don't want injuries. You want your muscles warm. We want to stay as warm and active as possible. I do a ton of jumping jacks and try to keep moving. Because you just don't want to stay in there and get cold and, you know, pull something.
So we know that there are those listening that play long winters in, you know, northern parts of the country. And you're thinking it was beautiful and there was no snow on the ground. Why is this such a big deal? Well, you're right to a certain degree. But for a pro tour event, you know, everybody having to deal with colder than expected conditions was kind of a thing. And I'll also say this. We spent a lot of the week with Henna and Evelina. They're from Finland. They're from a country that's so far north that during a portion of the summer, it never really gets fully dark. I mean, these guys really know what cold weather is about, and they were cold. So,
yeah, this was the first time they played outside in 2 months because they've been under so much snow and cold conditions. So absolutely, it did make me feel better knowing that they were like, oh, my gosh, this is freezing. Mm-hmm. So it was a different kind of cold.
So anyway, lots and lots of interesting, maybe behind the scenes that we wanted to just kind of make you aware of as you're enjoying maybe going back and watching coverage of the first DGPT event of the year. And on that theme of behind the scenes, we had something really, really interesting happen talking about Jennifer and I. Yesterday on Monday, I actually drove down to Phoenix as well from Las Vegas. And we were enjoying some lunch together, Jennifer and I and Henna and Evelina. And then Drew Gibson walks in. And next thing you know, we're sitting around a table at a pizza place with all of these top players. We've got the reigning U.S. Masters champion in Yu Jen, also coming off a top 10 finish at Las Vegas Challenge. We've got Henna. We've got Evelina. Evelina coming off a top finish at the Las Vegas Challenge, top five, I think. We've got
our European champions,
both of them European champions. We've got Drew walking in. He had won the Las Vegas Challenge in a four-hole playoff less than about 14 hours before he walked in. And so I just turned the mic on and we're going to let you in on that conversation. Now I'm going to preface it by saying this, it was a loud restaurant. It was just a single microphone in the middle of the table. It's not the highest quality audio you've ever heard, despite my best efforts to make it as tolerable as possible. But it is, I think, a really high quality conversation in that it's fast and loose and it's everybody showing a little bit of their personality, maybe still experiencing a little bit of the adrenaline rush that you get when you're coming off of a big tour event. And also rocketing right into preparing for the very next event, right?
I was going to say, or fatigue, mental and complete physical fatigue. We did go in and we all met up there to practice for the Memorial, which we start in just a few days. And it is very difficult going from a full on week and a half of practicing, you know, and playing And it's different than practice. You know, when you're playing in a tournament, it's just a different kind of fatigue because it is a mental fatigue as well as physical. But I know yesterday I definitely could have took the day off. But we, you know, there's no time to rest. We got to get right back out there and practice for the event coming up this week.
So this is something of an experiment. We're going to pull the curtain back just a little bit, let you in behind the scenes to a few professional players' lives. And we're going to let you in on this conversation that happened at Euro Pizza there just off the 18th green at Fountain Hills, and just let you listen in. And you know, lousy audio quality, who cares? This is a great chance for you to eavesdrop on some people having a little bit of fun. And we tried to structure it a little bit like our podcast episodes. We asked Evelina and Henna some of our quick cue questions, and we just had a good time for about 20 minutes. So let's listen in. For the first time ever, a post LVC roundtable here at, where are we?
Euro Pizza in Fountain Hills.
That's Jennifer Allen. I'm Grant Zellner, and we're sitting here at a full table with the Finnish fraternal twins, Evelina Salonen and Henna Lumbrush. How was that? Did I say it?
It was good.
It was good. Yes, it was. And special guest that we didn't know were going to be here until 5 minutes ago. Who's over here?
Hi. Drew Gibson.
Yeah.
Michaela.
And Michaela, no last name. This is like being in court where they say, identify yourself for the record. And you're like, why? You know who I am. Yeah, but the record is audio. You see, guys, this is a podcast. So it's audio only. We have to talk loud and stuff like that. How was the Las Vegas Challenge? First of all, sitting here with MPO champion after a four-hole playoff that literally every single hole came down to someone having to make a putt of some length under pressure. That was bonkers.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I think every hole that you play, you have to make a putt of some distance, no matter what you're doing. But yeah, I mean, it was the whole entire last, you know, 22 holes or whatever was pretty insane. I mean, I think for those 22 holes, I had 17 birdies.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and it's not like Gannon wasn't on the top of his game. It was just one of those things where it came down to like two prize fighters exchanging blows, basically, back and forth, especially down that back nine.
So, Drew, you and I both know the secret to you winning was having the absolute best caddy out there. A lot of people didn't realize who was on the bag, and I don't think she was there. My daughter is the absolute best emotional support caddy out there. So, Drew was really kind to fly her in Sunday morning, and she was able to make it there for my first hole. Got her there right at 8:30 when we teed off. And then after she walked with me, she turned right around and went out there with Drew. And she just, I don't know. Michaela, was it fun to be out there on the course for two rounds?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to see, like, the people that you care about go out and compete for something that you know that they can succeed at. And so just watching every hole and seeing how much hard work has gone into it to perform the way that they did, it's just, it's something special.
Well, and you get to be inside the ropes, as they say. And lots of people are getting more and more attuned to watching disc golf, you know, with the camera work, the incredible camera work on Disc Golf Network and on all the post-production channels. We're able to see so much more than we used to, but you're seeing it with your own eyes from literally inches away. I mean, is that just kind of a cool perspective? Even something as detailed as trying to figure out what disc, you know, someone's going to throw. Is that cool to watch that process?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, but also, like, I'm not big into disc golf. I'm more into, like, the people that are there. So it's not so much like, oh, this is the advice that you have to give. It's more like, how can I keep you focused and straight and, you know, keep smiling and confident the whole way through?
Can you give us an example of maybe something that you and Drew chatted about to kind of keep you off?
Okay, so actually we were practicing at Vista the week before, and there's this just Buzz Lightyear kite, and Drew's putting and I'm like thinking the whole saying the whole way through, and he comes over and I'm like, hey, look up there, look in that tree. And he's like, oh, the kite. And I was like, yeah, to infinity and beyond. So it's just like stupid little jokes like that that are so non-disc golf related that just can, you know, make you smile throughout something that's serious.
We always need that little reality check to kind of bring you back when all the pressure builds up on the course like that. Stuff like that just kind of brings you back, like makes you take a deep breath and gets you back focused and centered again. So they also, I think, we like to watch a lot of comedy. And so she's good about bringing up cute jokes. And no one wants to talk about disc golf when you're out on the course. And so having someone out there that just kind of keeps you centered, like she said, and focused on just what we know how to play golf. We know how to throw the shots. But staying calm to execute those shots is what you have to do to win. And having someone out there by your side that you know believes in you means a lot.
Well, and every player is a little bit different. I mean, Jennifer, you have a specific style. You're pretty intense, especially as the round starts. And when I'm around you, I kind of wait until you speak. You know, it's like, don't speak until you're spoken to, kind of. I don't mean intense like you're like rude or mean or like, but you're just like clearly really, really focused as the round starts. You know, in contrast, Evelina and Henna are like, as I would walk by them on the course, they would be quick to smile real big and say hi and, you know, make some comment about, you guys were staring off at an airplane that was driving, an airplane that was flying over the course. It was leaving a jet trail, and both of you guys were looking at it and talking about it and pointing at it and kind of like laughing and smiling. Drew, you're very intense, especially in the middle of the round.
Yeah.
Now, you might not be as intense as you talk to the people right next to you, but your persona is really, really focused as you play. I spent half a round with Kat Murch at one point. Kat Murch, she distracts herself on purpose with songs, and she's literally singing like show tunes as she walks down the fairway. And, you know, her competitors that are with her on the card will be, sometimes they'll join in and sometimes they'll just laugh at her. But that's what she came over and talked to me about it. That's what she does to get her mind off of things. And she said, I don't even think about disc golf until the moment I pull the disc out of my bag and it's in my hand, and that 3 or 4 seconds when I'm getting ready to throw a shot. But yeah, everyone's different.
I think I really didn't realize how important it is to stay in your group until we were at Masters Worlds last year, and Mark Horn and a couple of golfers who've been playing the sport longer than we have walked up into our group, and Elaine King said, hey guys, can you step back? You know, you're getting in our circle. And I realized that that's very important. We're playing, we're focusing, things are going good. You have to sometimes block out others. We don't need, and that's why they have media lines and spectator lines, because we don't need people walking up into our groups and messing with our train of thought or just the vibe of the card. And so I've kind of really tried to take Elaine's advice, because I think it was great advice. And that's, you know, no offense. That's why we definitely, I think, try to stay, for most of us, in that zone, because we have something rolling. And so you have to keep the right mindset when you're out there.
No,
I mean,
no.
There's a lot on the line.
Yeah, no offense taken. I know that some media members with the cameras and things have to kind of be right up near your space. And, you know, people that are doing some of the work like what I'm doing, I try to stay very much at the back of the group and just sort of a step in front of the crowd, but a step behind you all. The last thing I would ever want to do is even have one of you have to ask me to move so I'm not in your putting line. So I do my best to either that, or I try to emulate the way the crowd should act. Because I figure if I'm a step in front of them, at least they can see me. And so if I freeze all of a sudden, I hope that sort of translates to them. And I know that, you know, in those playoff holes, for example, you know, with no other golf on the course happening, everybody's around you and Gannon. The entire crowd is completely focused on one hole. They kind of break the rules for where the crowd can be. But all in all, you know, did you feel pretty much, you know, not too constricted with the way things were? Maybe walking from hole to hole might have been a little rough a time or two, but all in all, did you feel okay about things?
Yeah, I mean, I was in the same kind of zone the whole day, honestly. I mean, I had Mac with me, so I kind of, that was like my person where if I was nervous or whatever, I would just turn to be like, hey, come on, because she did a pretty good job of like staying back. So having her stay back a little bit was good for me. You know, and then if I needed her, I would look back, she would come and, you know, be there for me. So I think all day that kind of translated from the round all the way through, you know, the playoff, is that she was there, but she wasn't there. But at the end of the day, you know, she was actually there. So it was a good thing. So the crowd never bothered me, you know, and I'm used to playing at this point in front of a bunch of people and people moving and people making sounds and people telling others, slow down, stop, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, I think my upshot on hole five, even she was saying it, like I was lining up to throw and someone who was like volunteering for the event was like, stop. And I was already like ready to throw. Like whoever was moving wasn't bothering me, you know? So sometimes people trying to police the people being around is more of a distraction than someone moving a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. Drew, wouldn't you say that when you are at that moment, when it's so critical, everyone kind of blurs out, right? Like we know that there's a lot of people there, but in that intense moment, everything kind of starts to blur a little bit and you're just so focused. You don't really notice the people as much.
Yeah. I mean, especially during the playoff, there was no one out there other than like me, Mac, and Gannon, honestly. Like I was just like, that was kind of all I really had in my head, and that was like, you know, I'm just playing him. I'm trying to throw a better shot than him, make it more birdies than him. You know, and at that time there could have been 50,000 people out there. I don't think I would have noticed, you know. So I mean, there's a certain point where you're so locked in that just like nothing is really bothering you. You know, you're out there and you're in your own little zone, and whatever's in the way or whatever is kind of just a piece of, you know, just it's something just in the way.
And are the crowds like this in a lot of your European events and in Finland? Are the crowds the way they were this week at LVC?
Not usually, but in European Open, there is a lot of people, and that's awesome.
Did you notice the crowd during your final round being on the lead card, Evelina?
No.
Do you think it's more fun to play? Is it excite you, make you play better when there's a lot of people watching? Or do you like just when there's no one out there and it's just you're with your card mates?
I don't know. I don't care if there like 1,000 people or anybody. So, yeah.
Do you think it makes you play better, Hannah?
Yeah, I like that there is more people to watch and cheering and everything. Yeah, I love that.
So, Drew, are we going to go back to just practicing normal shots? You've been practicing for the Memorial for what, the last 2-3 months now?
Yeah, I've been in Arizona for a long time, it feels like. So I've just been playing Fountain, playing Vista as much as I can. I mean, just trying to get out when I can and enjoy the weather and enjoy the courses. So I'm definitely excited to be down here more and training in nicer, better weather and somewhere where I actually own a house.
Is it weird to think that this is going to be your new home course?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy for me to think, like, I'm literally moving my whole life. You know, like, I would have never thought, like, you know, no matter what was going on, like, I was going to leave California, you know. So to leave California, then do it, in theoretically, right in the beginning of the season is kind of crazy. You know, this is more like something you should probably plan for in the off season and, you know, use that time. But I'm only going to miss a few tournaments. And, you know, for the most part, I think I'm going to have a pretty productive season. And I don't think it's really going to affect me that much.
Right. And you're just practicing your throws, you're practicing your putt and being confident. So it really doesn't matter if you're on that course practicing or just practicing in general, right? So
yeah, I'm just trying to hone in my game. I think that if I can play good at Fountain Hills, I can play good in Jonesboro. If I can play good in Jonesboro, I can play good in Maple Hill. Like, I think I'm at the level in the sport where if my game's feeling good, I can translate it to any hole on any course. So I think if I'm playing Vista and shooting 14 under, I think I could translate that to 10 under at Maple Hill, you know? So I think that that's one thing about my game, that like it travels very well in the sense of, you know, I could go play a super tight wooden course and play very good, like such as Idlewild, or I could go play Vegas where it's wide open and windy and, you know, play just as well.
Are we going to have to fly Michaela into every tournament now to win everything?
Every tournament, if I'm on the lead card on Sunday, she's coming. I don't care what anybody says. So she'll be there.
Awesome. That's a win-win for us, I think. Evelina, Hannah, what's your next most excited tournament that you're ready for? Is there one? You're going to be here through the Champions Cup. Is there one tournament in particular that's standing out to you that you're excited to play?
Maybe Champions Cup, because it's major and new course. So
yeah, same for me.
And that's a pretty wooded course, and you guys play a lot of wooded courses over in Europe, so those should definitely suit your game.
Yeah.
Are we going to answer all questions like we order food and just say same?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are really a treat to interview. I just want you to know that. Give us a lot to work with. We're going to put you on the spot then. We play a game on our podcast where we ask you random questions to see what your answer is. So we played it with Drew a few weeks ago. We're going to play this question game with you guys. So question number one, what's your favorite movie to watch when you travel or whenever? Your favorite movie. Is it a movie that we've heard of in the United States?
I don't watch movies, so I don't know.
I think that's a lie because I'm pretty sure we watched a couple of Disney movies this week.
I don't watch movies except for the movies I watch.
We partied really hard in Vegas, so we relaxed at our friend Stephanie's house, watched a few Disney movies this week.
Like what Disney movies?
We watched Moana. Moana?
Moana?
So besides the Disney movies that we watched, are there other, do you like other types of movies, like action movies or just like love stories? Is there a type of movie that you like to watch?
Comedies.
Comedies?
Funny movies?
Comedies, yeah.
Yeah, comedies. I like Harry Potter.
You like Harry Potter. All right. I think we should go to the next question because there's no sense sticking around here anymore. You guys, let's be honest. I've gotten to eat a couple of meals with you since you've been in the States, and obviously Jennifer has been with you a lot. You're pretty picky when it comes to your food. So
I wouldn't call it picky. I think they're pretty simple. They like
maybe that's the word.
Simple.
You're simple.
What is what is your favorite thing to eat? Do we want pasta or chicken? Or are we gonna combine that for if you win the memorial? Where are we gonna go eat?
What's your favorite food?
Rice and chicken. Same or steak.
Steak. Ooh, bread. Steak.
Bread.
Do you like bread?
Sometimes.
Sometimes she likes bread. You heard it here first, America. Evelina Salonen likes bread.
There are two loaves of bread in the car. Don't cap on us. Don't cap now.
Okay.
They have no idea what's going on.
Drew's about to break a rib laughing over there, which would be really bad. He has to pull out of the next tournament. Do either of you, when I say secret talent, does that make sense? Do either of you have a secret talent, something other than disc golf? Do you sing?
Tennis.
Do you sing? Do you play an instrument? Do you play any sports besides disc golf?
Yeah, I play paddle and floorball and badminton, ice hockey, golf. Like, I love sports.
Okay, so Evelina plays everything. Hannah, what other sports do you play besides disc golf?
Sometimes ice hockey and badminton and like everything, yeah. And I always win badminton against Evelina. Never.
Okay, what about non-sports? Do you play an instrument? Do you sing? Do you do any other talent?
No.
No, that's from Evelina. No. How about you, Hannah?
No.
No. All right. In your world travels, Evelina and Hannah, where have you not been that you want to go and play disc golf?
Canada.
You haven't played disc golf in Canada? Okay. Where else, Hannah?
Maybe Japan.
Japan. You've never played in Japan. Okay. All right. As far as not disc golf, where have you traveled that's your favorite?
To travel, maybe USA, but the favorite course in Europe is Kona Pista.
Kona Pista is your favorite course, but your favorite place to travel is US? Yeah? How about you? Do you agree? Same?
USA or Norway.
Oh, or Norway. Okay, let's jump to our favorite question that we really wanted to ask you guys this. I had this thought, my high school Spanish teacher told me that in every culture, people have different sounds for what animals make. So we thought we'd ask you two, the Finnish fraternal twins, what sounds different animals make in Finland. So let's start with a dog. In America, we say a dog says woof woof, right? Arf. What does a dog say in Finland?
How how.
How how?
Yeah.
How how? Okay, how about a cat?
Meow.
Okay, cats. So cats say meow no matter where they're from. Right on. Okay. Let's go cow. What's a cow say?
You got it?
A moo.
A moo.
No, I think the moo is...
No, it's a moo. Is it moo or a moo?
A moo.
A moo. Cows in Finland are really indecisive.
A moo.
A moo. It's what cows say. Okay. How about pigs in America say oink oink, or that was Jennifer. What do pigs say in Finland?
Ruh, ruh.
Ruh, ruh. Ruh, ruh. Man, pigs in Finland sound classy. Are there any other, can you think of what any other animals in Finland say? No, they're shaking their heads no. Thanks, guys. This is an audio medium, and you're shaking your head at me. Really appreciate that. Okay, well, we're going to see all four of you guys this week at the memorial, yeah? Everybody playing this weekend?
Yes, while we're here. Yes.
After that, Drew, you're out for about a month, correct?
Yeah, I'll be at Champions Cup.
Okay, you'll be at Champions Cup. You guys, Texas Swing?
Yes. Yes, and Texas State.
All right. Jennifer, you?
We're going to all be at the Champions Cup in Georgia.
All right. Everybody, we'll do this again at the Champions Cup in Georgia. You know what? On second thought, we might not do this again at the Champions Cup in Georgia. But I really appreciate the fact that we gave it a shot and tried doing this right now.
So that was just a few moments for you to eavesdrop on a group of players and a couple of non-players, myself being one of them, sitting around a table at Euro Pizza there off of the 18th green at Fountain Hills. That was Jennifer. That was Evelina. That was Henna. Drew Gibson. It was also Michaela Allen, who acted as Drew Gibson's caddy. Michaela, Jennifer's daughter, obviously. So you got to just listen in on a little bit of that, and I hope that was fun. Not only did we have a great time sitting around the table just enjoying our conversation together, Jennifer also managed to track down the owner of Euro Pizza, a huge supporter of disc golf.
Okay, so we're at Euro Pizza, one of my favorite places to come to Fountain Hills, with Marita. She's the owner here at Fountain Hills. Marita, you've supported disc golf for as far as I can remember. How many years have you been supporting disc golf and owning Euro Pizza?
When did they start?
I know. I can't remember.
We've been here 21 years. 21 years. So, and I think it's been forever. I can't remember now when it started, but I can't wait when the disc golf week is here because it's the best week and the best crowd.
Was there something that got you into supporting disc golf?
I was talking to Keith back in the days, and he was talking to me about the ideas, how to and stuff. And so we started with a beer garden back then, and it grew, and we turned into like a 3-day event with music and pizza and all that. But don't forget that me and the girls, we started supporting the girls tournament.
Yes, you have. The Phoenix Lady Open.
And I hope that turns into something as big as this.
Yes, and that tournament has grown. This year we had a ton of women. I don't remember exactly how many, but it was well over 100.
It was a very, very good event, and I was very happy to see that because, you know, you guys all participate, but I'd see that. I would love to see that grow.
Yeah. For our viewers who have never been to Fountain Hills, Euro Pizza, the 18th green, the basket at Fountain Hills Disc Golf Course, backs right up to your restaurant. So you correct. Basically have the best
view
of the
whole course.
Yeah, we
hear the last roar. Yes, and you know they set up the tents there, and it's a great vibe to be very bland, but it's also a great crowd. Mm-hmm. People come from all over the world, they come from all over the United States, and I hear it's a great course. So, and Fountain Hills has a very healthy lifestyle, hiking and biking, and this is a great addition to our small, beautiful little town, and we all love them.
Yeah, I always love playing around Fountain Hills. I know these people see the baskets every day when they go for a walk.
And they wonder what.
But yeah, very few of them really know what it is. So I hope that as the more we continue to have this tournament here, we'll get some of the people to play.
Right. We had some kids that worked here, and seeing the guys come after the tournament, eat and leave and eat and leave, they joined, and now they hope for the game. And then some of them are members of the Fountain Hills League, or whatever you call it.
Marita, have you ever tried to play?
I'm not as coordinated, but this guy was telling me last night at the bar, he says, he was here when the guy hit a hole in one.
Yes.
And he said, it's not possible. So he went back the next day, and obviously he wasn't possible. But then he was looking into the game, and he said he was fascinated by it. But now he got exposed to the game, and him and his kids play on weekends. So I guess it's a growing sport.
It is, and that's how I think a lot of us get hooked. It is just such a fun family
fresh
sport
air.
Activity. Yeah, or with your friends, or even to play alone. But yeah, getting outside and being involved is definitely what kind of hooks all of us into the sport. Yeah.
You lose a lot of discs there, but that's okay.
the manufacturers part love it because we buy more.
Part of it, doing business, right? We know that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of guys that come here year after year, and I can't wait to see them, and I become friends with them, and I always root for them. Did he win? Did she win? And I'm happy when they say, and some of them retired, or, you know, and the new faces come in, and some of them I don't know, but they say, do you know who he is? He's the, okay, I'm glad to have a celebrity here and all that.
What's your favorite, what is the most popular thing that, should I say food or drink? What's the most popular menu item that our disc golfers order when they come to your pizza?
So we love their crowns for several reasons. First, they're easygoing, friendly, very chill people. They're not into a hurry. They're not cranky, all that. Because you know how it is in the restaurant business. But mostly they're beer drinkers. And so I try to get like a nice variety during that week. But they also, they go for simple stuff. Pizza, appetizers, and they're happy with their choices. But we do have a special for the golfers. We do like a one-topping pizza, salad, and a drink package, so if they are in a hurry to get that. And all week we're going to do happy hour on the drinks for them as well, you know. And then obviously we will support the volunteers when they are here at the booth and so forth.
And are there a few other businesses that are starting to join in with you in supporting disc golf?
I thought it was Senior Taco as well, because he's a good friend of mine, and I told him that would be a good exposure since he's off the beaten path, but he's got fabulous food and great person to deal with. Juan is a wonderful person, and I'm not sure about the rest. They don't know what's going on. They know it's a big thing coming, but they're not sure. So I've been talking to the Chamber of Commerce if they can jump in. And they just switched hands, so I'm still working with them.
Okay.
Yes, the brewery here in town, Bone House Brewery, that I love. Their beers are amazing. Andy is the brewer. He comes up with different varieties. So I have four handles from them, and he's actually going to come and see if he can donate one of the kegs for the disc golfers.
Well, we all love the support. I know the disc golfers always love your food and drinks when they come here. And we just want to say thank you so much for being a small local business that comes out and supports us every single year.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy to do that. And thank you for everything you do, because it's a big event to put together. Yeah, thanks.
Again. You're welcome. And I'm here with Hannah and Evelina. I know that all I heard all week long is how every American was so excited to have you back in the United States, but it's been a week since you've been here. I picked you up from the airport last Friday. Are you already a little homesick? Is there anything you want to say back? We have listeners over in Finland. Is there anything you would like to say back to your friends, your family, the fans back in Finland?
Terveisiä Suomeen. Täällä on kaikki hyvin ja kiitos kaikille hienoista viesteistä, mitä ollaan saatu.
Terveisiä sinne Suomeen. Kiitos kans kaikista hienoista viesteistä. Ne lämmittää todellakin.
Should I go ahead and ask for our American listeners? Evelina, what did you say back home?
Just greetings to home and thank you all. Great message.
Hannah?
About the same.
And as we know, that's their usual. It's so much easier. Their English is actually incredible. Mm-hmm. But to make things simple, they are simple, just amazing people. And so most of the times when we order and do anything, it's same.
Yeah. Once one decides what they want, the other one just goes with same. I love it. That's been a lot of fun getting to spend so much time around Evelina and Henna during the course of this week. Well, Well, we hope you enjoyed what we are calling an experimental episode of PDG Radio. Just pulling the curtain back a little bit and letting you see behind the scenes into the lives of some touring professionals.
I hope everyone has a great week and tune in to us next week on PDGA Radio.
See ya!